was lost when you found me here. You pulled me close and held me near. And I'm a fool, but still you love. I'll be a fool for the King of Love. You gave me wings so I could fly, and gave me a song to color the sky. And all I have is all from you. And all I want is all of you. It's grace, your grace. I'm nothing without you. Your grace shines on me. There have been days when I've walked away, too much to carry, nothing left to say. Forgive me, Lord, when I'm weak and lost, for you traded heaven for a wooden cross. And all these years you've carried me. You've been my eyes when I could not see. And beauty grows in the driving rain. Your oil of gladness in the times of pain. Your grace, I'm nothing without you. Your grace shines on me. Your grace, I'm nothing without you. Your grace shines on me. Shines on me. Shines on me. Your grace, it shines on me. Shines on me. Shines on me. It's your grace. Shines on me, shines on me. Your grace, it shines on me. Shines on me, shines on me. It's your grace.
God's grace that we need, praise the Lord. I tell you, it wasn't for God's grace, where would we be were it not for grace? Amen. Well, we're going to piggyback off of what we started on Wednesday and talking about being a comfort and an encouragement and getting some consolation to folks. I'm going to ask for your input like I did on Wednesday, but take it from a different angle tonight. Last Wednesday, we talked about basically some things that would be necessary would be comfort. We saw that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and then we saw consolation also in that same chapter. compassion. We saw something that we can give, as well as some biblical and godly counsel. We also saw that we can give correction. We've got to make sure that it is spoken in the right way and at the right time. And then we saw that we need to carry out these things in love. Everything needs to be done by, through, and with love. And then we talked about, as a congregation, what are some things that we can do? We can ask, how can we help? How can I be a blessing? What can I do? Babysit, maybe walk, talk together, listen, follow up in the days ahead. Just be there for companionship, also be there to give scriptures, to give prayer support, and many other things we discussed. Then I asked for some input from you. I'm going to give a little slightly different turn on it tonight. Take your Bibles and go to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and chapter 14. And once you find your place there, if you're able, if you would, stand with me. We're going to read verse 1 down through verse 9. Very familiar area to most of us, Mark chapter 14, verse number 1 down to verse number 9. This is where Mary of Bethany, I should say, goes down to anoint the body of Jesus. And I want to draw some parallels from this and give us some thoughts to think about tonight, and then ask for some input from you. How can we best be an encouragement, and how would you yourself like to be encouraged? And normally that's a good indication. What encourages you may encourage someone else. Mark chapter 14, verse number 1 through 9. We're going to read that area. And reading this because we want to be there for Robin to give her comfort. We want to be there for the children, give them comfort. But also, we don't know when the Lord's going to take someone else home that's in our presence. And we want to make sure that we're going to be there for that person. Ava is in the hospital now, and she's up there in her age. God may take her home in the future. We don't know. But God may take one of your children or my children or your spouse or my spouse. So your mother, father, my mother, father, and we as a church family want to be able to respond to that in a way that's going to be comforting and consoling. Gabby has lost her dad. She's going to be back amongst us, and she's going to need encouragement as well. Chapter 14, verse number 1, I'm going to read down to verse number 9. When I get down to verse number 6, I'm going to have you join with me 6, 7, 8, and 9. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him, speaking of Jesus, by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Join in with me down to verse 9. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She had done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken for me, for a memorial of her. Father, bless now in the next few moments that we have together, that, Lord, the congregation could be enlightened, and, Lord, we could be edified, and we could be encouraged on how to be a better comforter and a better encourager in the days ahead. Lord, help us to glorify Thee, that we may continue to do Your bidding as we love one another in spirit and in truth, in word and in deed. Lord, may You get the praise, the honor, and the glory. I do pray if there's one amongst us that's lost, that knows not Christ as Savior, You speak to that man, that woman, that boy or girl, understanding the brevity of life. Thank You for meeting with us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. going down through this area, and I'm not going to expound upon a lot because I really want to get some input from you, but the setting is right before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and the unleavened bread feast is there, as they said there in verse number one. And they are about to do some things here, but there comes a woman in here from Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, and she has this alabaster box, and she has this box of spikenard, very precious, it says down in verse 3. She breaks the box and pours it on Jesus' head. And there's some indignation there in verse 4 from Judas Iscariot and the others, and then they talk about what it could have been used for. But in verse 6, Jesus says, let her alone. You've got the poor with you always, but she's done what she could, and that's going to be a blessing and a testimony for her. Why are we looking at this particular passage of scripture? Well, I want to draw attention to the woman in this situation here. Jesus is about to go to the cross, and according to Jesus, she did what she could do. She did the best she could do. That's what she could do, and that's what she did. The ironic part about this is that what she did was quite costly. What she did was quite expensive. If you look at verse number 5, it said, "For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." The estimation is about 300 days' wages for a rural worker. And so it's quite expensive what she did. But I want to bring your attention to this point. Comfort and counsel, when we give it to someone, is not always about what we think a person needs. Right. Say that again. Comfort and counsel is not always about what we think a person needs. Say, preacher, it's not always. Now, sometimes it is, but it's not always about what they need. Preacher, why do you say that? Sometimes it's about giving up what we would want ourselves. Notice verse number 3. Being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, of spikenard. Notice the Bible makes great length to tell you that it's very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. What did this gal do here? This gal here gave up something she wanted. What am I saying? Oftentimes we want to seek to be a comfort to someone. It's not always about what they need, but about what do we want to give up? What are we willing to give up? And what would we want in exchange? Now, I guarantee you, if she had her choice of keeping this box, she probably would have kept it. But according to Jesus, she did what she could. She wanted that, I'm sure, for herself. Evidently, she had it for some time. But Jesus now has the occasion of going to the crucifixion, and she's going to do what she can do. Right. What am I saying? She didn't look at so much of what does Jesus need. Did Jesus need this box of ointment poured on him? No, he didn't really need that. No. But she looked at what she could give up, what she herself would want to keep. And she sacrificed, or she gave up, what she herself would want to keep. And so when you're looking at comfort and counsel, it's not always about what we think a person needs, because our thoughts may be wrong. Sometimes it's about giving up what we would want. And this ointment was very precious, according to verse 4. And notice verse 5, "For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence there," he says, "and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her." She gave away and sacrificed what was valuable to her. Ask yourself this question. What is it that is valuable to me that I would be willing to give up for someone else's comfort? What is it that's valuable or precious to me that I would be willing to sacrifice to be able to comfort someone else? This woman went through great length to give up this, which was equivalent to 300 days for a rural worker's wages. She gave that up for Jesus' sake. Keep that in mind when you're trying to be a comfort. What is it that I am willing to sacrifice or willing to give up for someone else's comfort that they could be encouraged? Because that's exactly what she did. She gave up that which was valuable to her. Comfort and counsel is not always about what we think people need, although needs are important. Sometimes it's about what do I want to give up and what is valuable to me that I can sacrifice. Maybe for you it may be a treasure like this gal. Maybe it's some time that you really don't have.
Maybe it's some talking that you really didn't want to give up. Maybe it's something that's going to really put you in an inconvenience. May I submit to you that Jesus Christ was inconvenienced from our standpoint when it comes to the cross? Although it was in his schedule, from our vantage point, that's an inconvenience. He didn't have to die for the sins of the world. He didn't have to go to the cross. He didn't have to be brutally beaten and spat upon. He didn't have to shed his blood. He didn't have to hang up on the cross. He didn't have to let them put the crown of thorns on his head. He didn't have to do any of that. He didn't let them have to jab a spear in his side. He didn't have to do any of that. But he did. According to my Bible, he was willing to give up heaven to come down here for you and I.
Amen.
So when it comes to comfort, what are we willing to give up to be able to comfort someone else? What are we willing to sacrifice? Say, preacher, I'm not going to sacrifice a whole lot. I'm not asking you to. I'm just asking, what are you willing to give up? Because in order to be effective comforters and consolers, sometimes we may have to give up that which is valuable to us. And sometimes we may have to give up that which we want to keep. This lady here gave up that which she wanted to keep. Verse 6, Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her?" Basically, get off. "She hath wrought a good work on me." He said, you know, she did something great. She did something good. Jesus said, "For the poor," to answer Judas Iscariot and the disciples, "the poor are with ye always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do good, do them good. But me, ye have not always." He said, no, you know what? She did something that was very timely, very costly, and very opportunistic, because you're not going to always have me to be able to do what she just did. You know, we're not going to always have the time to comfort someone or to console someone. It's not going to always be available to us. But we have the opportunity now. Verse 8, "She hath done what she could." And what she did was very, very costly. "She is come aforehand," or before the time, "to anoint my body to the burying." Jesus said, you know, she's doing what you would normally do after my death, before my death. She's doing it while she has a chance, and while she has a chance to get some response from me. She's doing it while there's still an opportunity for me to respond and me to say, well, you know, that's a good thing you just did. She's doing it now whilst I'm still alive, and so that you can see and so that she can see that I appreciate what she did. She's done what she could.
Amen.
And she's come to do this beforehand or before I die, or before it's customarily done, because normally they would do it afterwards. And so my question to you tonight and for myself is, comfort and counsel is not always about what we think people need. Sometimes it's about what I would want someone to do for me. What would I want someone to do for me? I want us to continue tonight sharing what we would want someone to do for us during our time of grief or during our time of sorrow, during our time of loss. What's been helpful for you in your grief or your sorrow to receive? What would you want someone to do for you? How would you like someone to speak to you? How would you like someone to comfort you? How would you like someone to counsel you? What's been effective in your time of grief, in your time of loss, in your time of sorrows? You know, not everybody likes flowers, although flowers are great.
Amen, Pastor.
Not everybody likes to talk, although talking is great. Not everybody likes people to come and flock at their houses and to weep over them, although sometimes that's necessary. The Bible says, weep with them that weep, rejoice with them that rejoice. But not every one of us is cut the same way. Not every one of us has been through the same experiences. And because of that, everybody's going to grieve differently. And as a result, you and I can be the best comforters when we really know what comforts someone else. In order to know what comforts someone else, we need to share what's comforting. Because I'd hate to comfort someone with something that's not comforting to them. And I want to be able to give my best, and you should want to give your best to comfort someone. This gal here gave her best. It was most valuable. It was the most precious thing she had. And as a result, Jesus says she's done what she could. She's come aforehand to anoint my body before the burying. In other words, she's done it when I could appreciate it. I want us to learn a little bit more tonight from each other and learn from one another. And I'll start us off. For me, the best way you could comfort me during a time of loss or suffering is listen to me.
Amen,
without trying to correct me.
Amen.
listen to me without trying to tell me what I need. Just listen. That's the best way to comfort me at times. Just listen to me. Other times, I just want space. My wife would tell you, I don't talk a whole lot. Just give me some space. Give me some time to process what just happened. Give me some time. Don't demand so much of me whilst I'm processing or trying to grieve, because I can't process correctly or properly emotionally. Now, folks, I've never lost anyone really, really close to me. But the ones that I have lost that have been close enough, it's not easy to process. Sometimes you need space. Sometimes you need time. Sometimes you need people to listen. Another thing that really comforts my heart, I like seeing joy. I like seeing people smile. I'm sad enough already if I'm sorrowing, if I'm grieving. I don't need you to come around me with a long face. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. I'm sorry too, but smile at me at least. Amen. Now that's me. You're totally different. My wife would tell you, I'll go and turn, if I'm feeling bad, I'll go home and turn a cartoon on just like that. Life is tough enough already. I want to laugh. I want to smile. I want to feel joy. It's bad already. And sometimes I'll just turn on some cartoons and just laugh. And watch the same cartoon over and over and over and over and laugh every time. My wife and I'll laugh. And my kids even laugh at it too. My wife looks at us like we're crazy. What is so funny about that? It's just nonsensical. Amen. It makes no sense at all. It requires no thought process. It requires no calculation. It requires no thinking. It's just I can say, oh, that's funny. Ha, ha, ha. And I feel better. But I need your input as well. What helps you? What comforts you? What would you want someone to do to you when you're going through a time of sorrow, a time of grief? What comforts you? We left off last week, and I think, Leah, you had your hand up. Did you want to give some input, Leah? You had your hand up last Wednesday, and I didn't get a chance to get to you.